This is CliffCentral.com.
Hi there, it's Michael Cowan here, and I'm in studio at the CX Innovation and Tech Fest with Brett Lindsay. We are talking about innovation around customer experience and the disruption thereof. How are you, Brett?
I'm well, Mike. How are you doing? That was a very formal start to a Futurology podcast.
It was.
And when you say studio, it's very loosely interpreted as a big auditorium at the Maslow.
Fantastic, though, isn't it? They've given us a whole auditorium. I feel quite special. But Brett, it's been a fantastic 2 days here.
It really has.
And you know, this is an introduction to all of our guest speakers who have joined us in our makeshift studio, our outside broadcast.
Yep.
And how have you found it, Brett?
It's really insightful. I like the fact that there's a lot of local speakers, all sharing case studies and use cases from local businesses doing things to impact the customer service area within our country.
100%.
And it's great to see that. I mean, we've always known South Africa is a great hotspot for innovation. And it's great to have innovation, but it's another thing to execute it and put it into the workplace. And
absolutely.
There's great things happening in South Africa. So that's encouraging.
And inspiring, but it's also been quite interesting listening to a lot of the comments in the audience. It's really interesting to see a lot of the challenges people are facing around innovation and this world of disruption with technology. Which is really what we're doing here. It's really about the inspiring part of what we offer as a podcast, as an organization.
For sure.
Getting into organizations and inspiring people to shift their thinking around that.
Yeah, so rather than being afraid of the future, start
Absolutely.
Embracing the possibilities around that change.
Absolutely.
And it's really cool. The great thing about customer experience as a focus is that it's about the people again.
100%. Absolutely.
So it's not technology-led. It's not all these things that are sometimes too big to understand or comprehend. It comes down to the person. It comes down to a real need with real people.
Absolutely.
And we can inspire that change to say, don't fear, embrace that change, let's go.
Absolutely, which is critical. But Brett, do you want to just give us a very brief introduction to what this is all about?
Cool. So in short, it's the CX Innovation and Tech Fest, where they celebrate people, technology, ideas, and innovations that are literally transforming the way businesses make and keep customers. That's the important thing. So it's one thing to get them, but how do you retain them?
Absolutely.
And it's around service. And what is the big talk around CX and what are we doing innovatively? What are we doing things? But it comes down to the fact that we know the world is changing.
Absolutely.
Customers are more demanding. Customer loyalty is decreasing. New technologies are constantly emerging. And it's how do you get your market share? As a business that has a huge consumer base, how do you get that market share? How do you attract them? How do you keep them? How do you seduce them to stay with you or even come across from the dark side? And you've got to make sure that it's the USP that you start to have is around customer experience and the customer service. It's not so much low-cost pricing anymore. It's not high-quality product. It's what is your brand? What is the combination of all of that?
Absolutely.
And there's great discussion happening here at this. And it's round about how technology has become an essential tool to enable a shift in thinking with business to move more into a CX way of life. And it's really great to see it happening here in Johannesburg.
Fantastic. Well, enjoy this podcast. What we have done is we've changed the format here. So please download this podcast. And the rest of the CX podcasts are available on our Futurology homepage on Cliff Central.
Yeah, and if you want to follow us on Twitter, we have a Twitter handle at Futurology Show. And you can tweet us as much as you like. And we'll be tweeting out some of the shows as well. So
Absolutely. Us. Fantastic. Enjoy. And we're back at the Customer Experience Innovation and Tech Fest, and we are now chatting to Nicholas Maweni, Marketing Director of SAP Africa. How are you, Nicholas?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, Michael. And
fantastic.
Good to be here and also to be broadcasting to your listeners out there in the world.
Fantastic. Well, it's lovely to have you. Brett was in your session. I was in another session, and he's glowing. He sounded like it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. The 360 view of the customer with a personal touch. Do you want to kick off?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I tell you what, before we kick off, do you want to give us a bit of an introduction to who you are? Sorry, I'm getting so excited about these amazing conversations.
Well, just a little bit about myself. I work for SAP.
Yes.
I look after the marketing for SAP.
Yes.
And quite a number of things, changing perception, monetizing our portfolio.
Wonderful.
And really making sure that we run simple. And I also have had my stint within the public sector, so I've done... service ons al offer wat jy Frans al antwoord op jou roepstem. I've done all of that in a good country, and I've worked as the chief of staff for the Ministry of Justice, as a Ministry of Arts, And I've also worked for the blacks. And for the blacks here, I'm referring to the Black Management Forum in my capacity as the managing director for BMF.
Okay. Wow.
So
fantastic.
I've got a bit of a odd background.
Interesting. In diversity is good.
And of course, as well as in law.
And let me ask you a question. Sorry.
I think we're probably going to ask the same question.
what did you prefer, art or law? Because they are completely opposite.
Well, both of them are form of art.
The art of argument.
Exactly.
Have you found that broad spectrum of diverse skill sets, talents, and experience have put you in a focus position in what you do now?
So interesting. Most people always ask, well, how did you move? What made you to move from, strong marketing, strategic marketing background and eventually decided to go and study law? I think in some stages, most of the marketing people used to be very much challenged.
Yes.
And we always used to be perceived as if we have these fluffy stuff.
Mm.
And then in order for me to really come and bring some substance to the fluffy stuff, I was not very good with accounting. So I thought, I'm clearly not going to become an accountant. So taking your word to say, well, it's still part of the art. So I thought, yes, marketing is a science of this art. So if I could really fully do good research and understand the legalities and all the things that thou shalt not, it will probably be a good thing. So now I can walk into any board that wants to challenge any marketing campaign, and there I can really read them the riot act.
Yeah,
cool. And there was touches of that in your talk as well, where you're saying stop doing this and think about that and have you thought about this?
Yes.
And I think the thing that shocked me with some of the stats that you brought up specifically around social media and how we interact with it is how little some of us actually know about how much everybody else knows about us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, very much. So even though most people, I talked about, this 360 view of a customer and with their personalization.
Yes.
Most of us, we want our privacy. We want, and as I've mentioned, it's enshrined in our Constitution, Section 14, actually guarantees you, your privacy.
Yes.
And yet, whenever we engage socially, particularly on the social platforms, and we somehow disregard this.
Yes.
And whenever you don't get any likes on your whatever comment, and you get devastated.
Mm.
And of course, the more likes you have, the more somebody out there is starting to pick up this information, this wonderful insights. And, if you get to 300 likes, I can tell you, likes of Facebook know you far better than anybody else.
It's like a paradox of narcissicity.
Sorry, because it's actually a really critical point. It's 7 likes. The algorithm that they've designed in Cambridge Analytica, I don't know if you're going to go into that, but it's 7 likes and they can actually determine exactly who you are. But not only that, what's absolutely frightening, if we look at the work that Cambridge Analytica has done from a political perspective, every country that they've gone into and they've influenced the election, it has left a wave of absolute destruction in its path and discontent. So it's a very, very real scenario. And anyone who's sitting there saying, my privacy doesn't matter, I've got nothing to hide, you do not understand what you are saying.
And the challenge for most of us out there is, when we start engaging on these social platforms, do we ever go back and think about the terms and conditions, that 16 whatever number
absolutely.
Of pages? And we want to engage in the moment. And on our side, like I've mentioned, if you don't get any likes on your side, you start thinking, well, nobody likes me, nobody cares. I want to be an influencer.
Yes.
Imagine somebody, do we call them celebrities?
These well-known
kind of guys,
people.
Yes, these so-called well-known individuals who really boast that they've got over 1 million.
Yeah.
And
75% of them in Russia.
I've asked, well, there's one individual, a local South African who actually has got over 1 million. And I've asked him and I said, do you know what this means?
Yeah.
So I'm not mentioning the name. He actually told me, says,
we might be affiliated
I have outsourced all of this. So the good thing about it is he is not doing it himself.
Yeah.
Therefore, that's why it's important. So they're not really picking up the best kind of insights.
Yeah.
Because he's not the one doing it. So he's got a team of people that are actually doing this kind of information, this kind of, going out there with trawlers. That sort of put a twist to the whole thing now.
It's interesting because we could scroll off down a whole path.
Oh, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. It's really interesting because at the end of the day, it still becomes who he is, though. He cannot escape the hook. He's still that little fishy on that hook.
Well, at the end, you basically just get fans, and that's what it is. Don't confuse fans and really who you are. When we talk about this, this kind of when you start putting the analytics here, is your behavioral, it's your psychological kind of patterns, and that, unfortunately, you're not going to pick it up when you use that type of model. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we get. I've just got multiple like avenues of topics that we can pursue at the moment. But I think let's stay on your talk that you mentioned about the 360 degrees view of customer service and experience. And it is so vast that a 360 degree strategy around customer service is one that I think some brands think they're doing and maybe aren't really executing very well. And yet there are some that are doing it maybe to an extent where it hampers some of that privacy issues. What are some of the things that you talk to customers and businesses, brands about getting customers, retaining customers, keeping a one-on-one relationship versus just general messaging?
So a couple of things there, Brett. One is I always believe you have to run faster just to stay in one place. Yes. Does that make sense?
It does.
You're running so
fast. The
tide
of change.
But you are actually not moving because you need to run so fast because everybody else is actually going to overtake you.
Yes.
So that's one. And so if you were thinking that, hey, I had the best customer experience or the customer service that I was offering, that was yesterday.
Yes.
And now tomorrow the customers no longer want a good service. They want a superb service, and eventually they want you to delight them, et cetera, et cetera. I think we're going to run out of adjectives here. So that's what normally happens. And the other thing that one always needs to focus on is in most businesses, I mean, I use the interesting case here of a mobile company where a customer is buying a mobile phone and et cetera. In that business, three basic things happened. You acquire a phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so 100%. Therefore the company has to go get involved in an acquisition, okay? Go and get the service.
Yes.
Once they got the service or they got the product, now you've got to keep them.
Yes.
Yes.
Keeping them.
Yeah.
Often it's becoming now a lot more difficult to keep them because customers, as I've mentioned, are not very loyal.
Totally.
It costs a lot of money to get them. And now you've got to keep them. And keeping them, gee whiz, you've got to really do a whole lot of tarantaras and different things to keep them entertained. And once you do that, in terms of keeping them, is then now, how do we grow them?
Yes,
absolutely.
You see, you've bought a mobile phone from us, and we're happy with this, and we're keeping you. Now let's grow. And growing means let's actually start putting other sort of services within that. Let's start farming you so that, you know, the transaction is a lot more from you than it was when we started engaging with you.
Yes. Yeah.
That's so it's get, keep, grow. Mm-hmm. That is, to me, one of the most basic strategies to apply.
I like the simplicity of it.
Yeah. So there's another thing around business approaches to consumerism, and that's better, faster, cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't, and you can only have two of those, I suppose, at any one time. But in order to attract people, competing brands are trying to be the best that they can be. They're pushing forward, obviously, massive marketing, huge awareness campaigns to say, hey, we're over here, look at us as an alternate. How much of that goes on past the point of, past the retention? Are brands actually executing? My question is, are brands actually executing the big talk once consumers join?
You know, I noticed something in my talk, early on, is that people love cliches, and people really, really do love cliches, and I wish they could go beyond cliches and strip all of that and really talk about the real life situations, and that's why whenever I do these kind of talks, I just try to personalize it.
Yes,
I'm not going to talk about rocket science when you are battling to order a chicken and to want that chicken to be delivered to you on time, hot, with an ice cream, and you want all of these things there. To me, that's how basic we need to start engage, because that's not even happening. So the other maybe challenge, and I know most of the people within the marketing community might probably not be happy with this, is we need to go beyond this thing of being very pris about these campaigns. Because people believe so much that what they're doing is the gospel, that, you know, what they're doing is so cool. Mm. Like I've shared, 80% of the CEOs that were sort of surveyed in the recently by, I think, Bain or McKinsey, and they discover that these guys think that they offer a superior service. Mm. And customers, when you ask them, and only 8% of the customers actually think these guys are good. So are we really listening to the customers?
Oh, internal
or
testing.
Do we rather believe or drinking our own Kool-Aid? And that, to me, is a phenomenal challenge here.
So at SAP, how do you go about doing this? Because, I mean, to bring it back to beyond the cliches.
So from our side, so one, it's not an easy thing to even do within SAP. One of the things that I've tried to do is then to change the perception. One, the perception that we're trying to change is for most people, they look at us as SAP as like, oh, you must be that ERP software company.
Yeah. Mm.
And I normally say to people, yeah, we're that and more. We actually involve in quite a number of things. We involve in fashion. We involve in, you know, in retail, in farming, etc., and all of those kind of things. And how do we change that perception? Well, we change it. We've got various products. You know, particularly within the marketing community that you know, one could use, could relate to, and that's the Hybris. And what Hybris does, so remember, number of customers are using multiple channels to engage online, you know, handsets, physical presence in the store, and all of that. And surely you need to be able to have that particular view, 360 view of that particular customer. And and for that, that's when we start talking about, you know, the analytics, because you've got the data.
Yeah,
there. And now you need to put the analytics part of it. And that's what some of the our tools that we have within Hybris that will then allow you to have that 360 view of a customer. And by the way, irrespective of what other platforms you have from any other company, you know, this Hybris will sit you know, on that. And of course, it sounds as if it was selling, which is terrible. Don't get me to do that again.
But one cool point about that is that no matter how you engage with that customer, one thing you mentioned was stay consistent across all mediums.
Absolutely.
But it's very important to be relevant and start treating your customer like the person he or she is, rather than just the demographic that you're trying to reach.
Treat them like treat them as if you're treating yourself. So there was this gentleman who asked, you know, how do we juggle between this? We want personalized service and yet we want privacy. Yeah. And then when you ask the question, what do you want? How do you deal with this?
Yes.
You do want personalized service. You want to be called by your name and blah, 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 and all of that. And yet you want this privacy. So, you know, we are actually consumers. We are customers ourselves. And we tend to project as if a customer is somebody out there.
Yeah. This faceless
You know, it's a faceless and nobody really can touch this person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the sooner we start relating that I am a customer. And by the way, don't overpose. I am a customer.
Absolutely.
And use your grannies, use your aunties, use your housekeepers out there. And it's one of my favorite things. I do that quite a lot to test things.
Yep. Going into the future, there's always this two camps of thought here. There's the people that embrace change for the future and those that possibly fear the future change that is coming. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the fear of change is something that maybe prohibits the brand consumer conversation? People not adopting maybe the technology or jumping into this privacy act or opting into certain messaging or brands not maybe making it feel comfortable enough to say, hey, we want to talk to you. Is it a fear thing?
It's okay to have fear. I always like it. You know, you must have fear. As a customer, you must always fear. If anybody's selling you something, you must start questioning why. What's the point? What's the hook? You know, and that's one. So I always encourage fear because it really starts getting you to think about a number of things.
Yes.
And so that's one. And then the second part that you've then mentioned is, you know, from a customer being cautious about anything.
Yeah.
We're now entering into this era of fake news.
Yes. Mm.
We're now entering into this era where what you see is not what you get.
Absolutely.
So the consumer or the customer now needs to be a lot more informed. And that's why in the olden days, when I say olden days, this could be as old as last year.
Last
year is quite old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you thought that, you know, my likes, if I've got so many likes and my friends will be recommended, is that now still the big thing? Not at all.
No.
Not at all. It's not that big anymore. purely because everybody is clicking without thinking. Everybody is forwarding you information without really considering. So that's the big challenge for many brands.
And you mentioned that personal data is the new gold. Is it?
Data is the new gold. Because remember, people, because data is the new gold at the moment because people are engaging with you. People are interacting with you. And you need that information because that's the insights that will help you to make sure that you have a personalized service.
No, for sure.
Absolutely.
You mentioned something that just sticks out for me in the thing. It wasn't all around consumer driven. It was about that understanding of how valuable your information is, your personal information is.
Yep.
Things like going up to business parks and handing over your ID book and having it scanned. You don't have to do this. And there's an awareness that's missing.
Well, I don't want to cause an alarm for many people out there, but I mentioned about the Poppy Act and saying to people, even when we're moving into this digital economy, digital era, people need to be a little bit more careful because this could infringe on your own personal security.
Absolutely.
This is a kind of thing that sometimes we tend to really neglect. Yes. So when you go next time, as I've mentioned, you get scanned at that estate when you're visiting a friend or family member and they want your ID book and all of that. The question is, do you really have to do that? And if do you have to do it? Do you need to be scanned? And what happens to that data?
No. Yes.
Yeah. Who's safeguarding it?
In fact, it's a very real concern because, in fact, I did leave my ID book behind one day and they said, don't worry, just give us your ID number. And they pulled up all my information anyway, which was even more frightening, actually.
There you go.
Yeah,
I knew there was another Michael floating around.
Yeah, can you trust the trust you have?
Can you trust the trust you have?
Yes.
Very good one. Interesting topic for another day.
Yeah, for sure. No, for sure.
Trust the trust you have. It's called gut feeling. Yeah, I normally suggest a gut feeling.
Go
your
with it.
Gut will never be wrong with you.
Okay.
And I always say, follow your gut feeling because that's really what separates most of us. We all have the 100%. Same logic.
Yes.
We read the same books.
Common sense.
But common sense, that is very similar because it's always not that common. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing is your gut.
Go with it.
Go with it.
And shortly before we end, you got very passionate towards the end of your discussion around the things that are coming and the things that are here. Yeah. And that's what we like in the Futurology Show. Where are we going? So you showed a thing about a 360 vision of what happens when you get a car accident and you need an insurance call or something like that. You don't need to go into the details of that. The great video that we'll share. But what is your vision and hopes for customer service with that 360 view into the future?
You know what I find interesting is that many companies are now really shifting into fifth gear. Never mind second. Yes. Everybody says, look, let's skip it. And it can be an expensive exercise. That's one. And many companies are now no longer ignoring those small startup companies that are happening in that garage in the outdoor because these are the disruptors.
And they're answering needs.
And what you need to do is collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
Collaborate. So if you find a guy out there who comes in and wants to meet up with your CEO, just don't disregard him. Who knows? This could be the new disruptor in your business.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Find a way if there could be some collaboration because this is where your greatest innovation within the company could come from.
100%.
One of the things that I also pick up, as I get excited about what's happening in technology space, is there's some companies that it just gets too expensive for them to change.
Yes.
Purely because, hey, they've got this, call it this heavy legacy, IT, and they can't change it.
Or even process, to be quite honest.
You know, and it's difficult to change that particular ship. I always say, disrupt yourself. It's important.
Yeah.
Those companies, they need to disrupt themselves.
Yes.
There's a big thing now that what you find in most CEOs' offices, the CEO will set up a team of about 5-10 people, and they are the guys who really are going to break things, test
go
things.
Go against the grain.
Go against the grain and irritate everybody else and test things out.
100%.
That is proving to be delivering some interesting results going forward for companies.
Exciting. Absolutely. Exciting
fantastic
times.
Fantastic stuff, man. No, lovely.
Nicholas Moweni from SAP Africa, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to speaking to you again in the future.
Thanks very much, Brett. Lovely. And to Michael, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Well, that was fun, Brett. I enjoyed that chat.
It really, really was.
Fantastic.
And that was just one interview of so many great speakers here at the CX and Innovation Tech Fest.
Absolutely.
So, if you liked this interview and you liked hearing all the thoughts and future explorations, then
there's more.
There is. It's on the Futurology CX page.
Yes.
So please go and find those on there. Also on iTunes. And of course, if you want to be inspired within your organization, drop us a line, because what you've experienced here, we're quite happy to come and set up a framework within your organizations. Because the inspirational part of moving beyond the disruption and the challenge of technology is important to you. So thank you, Brett. I've enjoyed our time.
Thank you, Mike.
This is CliffCentral.com.